Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mary.
I'm so glad to be with you here on the Word Sower podcast.
Oh, me too. This is exciting. I love the Psalms, and this is just great at the first of the year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Can you believe it's 2025? We're going to thrive in 2025.
Here, here. Well, we do understand, you know, a lot of people have resolutions and expectations at the start of the year. And one of the best things I think that has impacted my life is making a commitment to read through the Bible every day. So what I do is I read the one-year Bible plan, and there are different plans. We're not going to use the New Living Translation today because today we're going to be looking at Psalm 1 in the New King James Version. But for me, for everyday reading, I read from the New Living Translation. It's just easier for me. I've read through in English Standard Version, New Living, New King James. I think those are the three that I've used that plan. So we are going to read a psalm that, like I said, Psalm 1, that talks about wisdom. And I think that's a great New Year's resolution, is seeking the Lord and His wisdom.
Absolutely, because He is the source. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and as we seek Him, He's just going to bless us as we seek Him.
Yeah, and I'm not going to yo-yo like I do in my other resolutions. And that's one of the great things that I was taught was, if I do want to make a commitment to read God's word every day and maybe even perhaps use a Bible plan like the one-year Bible plan, what was taught to me is if I forgot to read yesterday or if I find myself a week down the road not having read, simply pick up today.
That's good.
Yeah, don't worry about now I have to catch up, now I'm behind, I've got to fix this. We're just looking for a daily habit of reading. Mm-hmm. And it's not a check off the box, you know, thing. It's just establishing our lives, putting time with Him first. When I pray to Him, that's my conversation to Him. When I read His scripture, and I can meditate and listen from Him, and that's kind of a dialogue, right?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
My one-year Bible reading plan, it really cost me 20 minutes in the morning.
Yeah, it's something special about not checking your phone, not checking your emails, not going out to feed the cat, but spending your time with the Lord it's giving Him His first fruits.
It's love, yeah.
It's love. But, it's priority.
But I will say this, if you didn't get that done,
it's okay.
Yeah, He loves you. He knows you. He is not rolling His eyes at you. He just wants to be able to talk to you, and He's given us the Bible, His love letter to us. It's changed my life, and I think His word says, do not be conformed by the world, but to be transformed by
the renewing of your mind.
Through scripture, right. Thank you. My scripture buddy. I couldn't get through without my lifeline, Robin. She's so dear to me. This is a very short psalm, Psalm 1, and like I said, New King James Version. I'm going to read the first three verses, and you're going to finish up with the last three. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen. You know, sometimes I think in the Old Testament, people feel like, well, that old graybeard God, he just wants to catch people and zap people. Mm-mm. that is exactly how I felt for a long time, is, you know, God's like this judge, this mm-hmm. policeman, or somebody who just wants to catch people and punish people. But what I realize is, when I read scripture, God is explaining something that is a matter of fact.
That's right.
It's not, he is not trying to catch me and hurt me. He is saying, hey, you know what? This is how life works, Mary.
Yeah. And it's not rocket science.
It turns out it's not rocket science. It's common sense. And scripture is full of common sense. And what he's saying is that blessed and highly favored is somebody who takes good counsel.
Yeah.
And it's not that God wants me to live in a country club church and never hang out with people who are unchurched or, you know, lost folks. That is not what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, where are you getting your counsel from? Is it right. TikTok? You know, is it Facebook or Instagram or something like that? Is it Hollywood?
Is it MSNBC?
Well, we won't go there. But he's saying people who delight in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? It's the scriptures.
Yeah.
It's the Bible. People who delight in the law of the Lord, who chew on that, who meditate on that.
That's right.
The Hebrew word for meditation is like the word chewing the cud. And so if you look at how big that cow is standing in that pasture, how could it possibly get that big eating grass? And yet, somehow, that cow gets all of this nutrition from eating grass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because it ruminates. It chews and chews and chews. It swallows, and then it brings that back up, and chews it again and chews mm-hmm. it again. It swallows.
Yeah.
And this happens through four stomachs.
Yeah. And you know, and that's like what in the Amplified it says, on his law, his precepts, teachings, he habitually meditates yeah. on it day and night. So I think you once said we feed on three meals a day or four meals a day or two, whatever it is. We better eat scripture. Our spirit's going to starve.
You. Yeah.
Our soul is going to starve if we, and the people who do really well. And to me, as Christians, I think of Joyce Meyer. She's always thinking about the word.
Mm.
I think of others, some of my heroes in the faith. And
yeah, Billy Graham certainly knew, you know, he was so famous for standing up at a stadium with a big paper Bible in his hand. And that same Bible, so much of it was inside him,
right.
in his heart. And he could he could rattle that scripture off by memory.
Mm-hmm. And I've studied him. You know, my husband worked for Samaritan's Purse, and Franklin Graham, his son, was his mm-hmm. last boss before we retired. Mm-hmm. They feast on scripture. Billy Graham was always taking out scriptures mm-hmm. during the morning, during the day. I mean, in his spare time, he was continually feasting on mm-hmm. the Word of God. And when we do that, we are successful.
Well, yes, because when I'm going through good times, when I'm going through hard times especially, when I can dial in, or when I'm sideways with somebody else, the scriptures teach me to love that person, to heap kindness on him, like coals on his head. Like, I'm not going to win at life by getting even. What I can do is heap coals of kindness on their head and win people over, or just be a winner myself, you know? And so that's directed my path. Being grounded in scripture versus being grounded in what the world says.
Yeah, absolutely. What it's on the Sermon on the Mount, bless mm. those who persecute you, bless, you know, mm-hmm. We're called as Christians to love not just our friends and our family, but love your enemies.
That's
and when
right.
they do wrong, you pray blessings over them. That's mm. commanded in scripture. And I don't know exactly where it is.
But so that's another, like, if we're looking, rather than dialing in on weight this year, on my, you know, some of those gym,
always
gym membership goals. Why don't we dial in on hiding scripture in our hearts?
Exactly. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. And that
that's
will bless
a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And no yo-yo.
But I also love, Mary, the analogy that he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. I'm reading the Amplified, which yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. In Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, it said, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water." And, you know, such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And this is like Christians. Some Christians that are, or the Christians that are drinking deep into the Word of God, like you're talking about, every day having that time. And then, especially when I have a challenge, I go overtime. I'm IVing more into my heart, into my, you know, because I need him and I need his promises.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mary, it looks like the way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly. I mean, in this one, we've talked about the fun that we can have as righteous, and God allows us to have fun. But when we focus on his word, that's where the joy is. His word is where the joy is. But, you know, the ungodly, and we're talking about the wicked. We're talking, I think, about defiantly wicked who just give God no place in their lives.
Well, and that's all of us. That's, you know, every one of us is born a pagan. Every single person on the planet is born separated from God. And, you know,
you can
grow up hearing about the Lord. And I've not had this experience, but I've heard a lot of people who said, "Well, I was just a Christian all my life," and they never had a noticeable turning point of surrender. I hear you on that. But there has to be a point when each person decides for him or herself, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I repent of that, and I can't save myself with my good works. I'm trusting Jesus for my salvation.
Exactly.
We're all born ungodly. And I mean, you see so much evidence of that, you know, from the time we're toddlers all the way through our teens and early 20s, a lot of us, even those of us who grew up churched and believing in the Lord, a lot of us, if not almost every person, goes his or her own way.
That's
right. That's what sin is. It doesn't mean I'm an axe murderer. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm a drunk driver who mows down families on Sunday for the fun of it. It means I go my own way. I don't follow the Lord.
Exactly. And
the one true God, Yahweh.
Yeah. And we've all had our detours, and that's true. Yeah. And in my own life, you know, I've got wheat and chaff in my own life.
Sure.
I've got the tares. And, you know, it says at the end of our days, when we stand before the Lord, everything we did in our own strength, or we did our own way, maybe by scrolling Facebook, looking at political things for hours upon end, that's going to burn up. But anything I did for the Lord, and I trusted him, and I did it in his strength, not mine. I did it because I felt like of his leading, and I leaned on his power, not mine. I mean, being self-sufficient, which I am not, thank God he made me very needy for
dependent.
Him.
Dependent.
The people who are very self-sufficient, my husband is pretty self-sufficient. He's very skilled in a lot of survival things. And I think it's harder for him sometimes. It's easier for me because I need help. I'm very helpless in many areas.
Maybe a gender quality typical gender quality as well.
Yeah, and all of that. But
men don't generally ask for directions or go to the doctor.
Yeah, but I want things in my life that are not going to be burnt up.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want, oh, well, you just made it through. You just made it to heaven because you said, you know. But there is religion and relationship, and that's what you're talking about, Mary. Yeah. And some of the people, and this is, scares me, because sometimes you vaccinate people with just, and they never get the real deal.
Right.
They've got the vaccination. They've heard it all. They know it all. They think they're okay. They might have even gotten baptized, and but they did it in a time where...
Well, what's your motivation?
Exactly. You know? That's it.
So
the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized. He wasn't sprinkled, but he made that decision. Mm-hmm. I believe in you and I want to be with you in your kingdom.
Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Exactly. He made
to
that.
To a man who had been beaten beyond recognition. Isaiah said he didn't even look like a human man anymore. He had been beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was hypovolemic. His blood had been poured out over at the praetorium before he ever got to the cross. He lost so much blood for you and me. And then, you know, tasked with carrying his own cross, carrying that cross beam up the hill of Golgotha, you know, walking up there in athletic hiking shoes was challenging. Never mind, you are beaten within an inch of your life and carrying a beam that is my own instrument of death. I mean, just how much can anybody endure? And he did it in love. His suffering was for love. He wanted to take our sin on him because he is the ultimate survivor.
Exactly.
He could survive bearing the weight of sin, not to not die carrying it. He did die carrying our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And what we couldn't do, resurrect, because he is the life.
I love it that you said he's the ultimate survivor. In fact, he's alive today. It's been 2,000 years and he's alive. His spirit lives in our hearts, but he is alive and well. That's just such a miracle. I mean, Mel Gibson, that was so bloody and it was hard. The Passion of the Christ. But you said that even didn't show the...
Oh, no.
The...
No,
wholeness.
It was too, and we'll talk about that more on a different
Easter.
I mean, really, that's, and I'll just say, when people said, why did you make that movie so bloody? And he said, because that's what Jesus did. He poured out his blood for us. He broke his body and he poured out his blood. And the life is in the blood, scripture says. It's about the blood.
And it is about the blood. The life is in the blood. And his blood covers all our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. And that's right, Robin. When you were talking about, I want to have these works that were done out of love and out of devotion and out of his Holy Spirit strength, we will have those things to offer. They don't provide salvation, however. They are crowns and gems that we throw at his feet.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be good.
We don't earn salvation our works.
But James says, faith without works are dead. I'll show you my works and you show me your... Anyway, what is that? Faith without works is dead.
So absolutely. And Paul said it like this, didn't he? This is another paraphrase. If you don't see the fruit, you need to check the root. Or was that... Maybe that's James' paraphrase.
I love it.
If you don't see the fruit, you need to check the root.
Yeah, because, you know, is there evidence in your life to convict you of being a Christian?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I face the Lord, y'all aren't going to be there. Jesus is my advocate.
Yeah.
And so I will be standing there with Christ. And when I face the Lord and he says, you know, how are you paying for your sins? Jesus is right there with me saying, I have paid. I have paid.
Mm.
Now, I'm not, so in a way, I'm not alone.
Mm.
I have my advocate there who he That's says, good. I have paid for her father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my sin is as far as the east is from the west. only because Jesus paid it all.
He did. He did.
And so don't you want to have an advocate there who says, I have paid for this? Because I'm not going to be able to go up there and say, I prayed five times a day. I tithed on my gross. I went to church. I was a deacon. I was a Sunday school teacher. I, me. Well, guess what? It's not enough. It's a life debt. The wages of sin is death. It's a life debt that I owe. Jesus paid for it with his blood, with his life. I don't have enough lives to pay for all my sins.
That is so good. And it was once described to me, our goodness and God's holiness, our goodness compared to God's goodness, even if you measured it from here to Europe, even Mother Teresa would maybe go a couple of
blocks,
a couple of blocks, and the Lord is all
she
the way.
She won't make it to the county line.
Exactly, because we're all human, made of flesh, yeah. And we're all sinners saved by grace. But His goodness,
it's incomprehensible.
Exactly.
But Max Lucado said it like this. I'll butcher his little illustration. It was, whoever can jump the highest. And some people, they can't jump at all. Then somebody else, like I might get a couple of inches off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's Magic Johnson going to do?
A couple of feet.
He's going to get,
yards.
He's going to soar way up. And he says,
high jumper.
And then Max Lucado backs the picture up and he says, okay, but the goal of holiness is to the moon. Magic Johnson, he did way better than Stephen Hawking did. But, the goal is to the moon. And so, none of us are going to make that jump to holiness. We all fall short, Scripture says. We all fall short of the glory of God, except Jesus Christ. He was the only one who, though tempted in every way, he did not sin.
Mm.
He's got an A record. We have an F. And because if you miss one, if you miss one, you miss the whole test.
Yeah. And so with
we all
him,
fall short.
With him, we get an A if
that's
he's standing
right.
beside us.
He took our F and he gave us his A. And it's the
great
holy exchange, right? It's so amazing. So, we're not sitting here pointing out who's ungodly. What we're saying is anybody who's not following God's way, if you're not surrendered to Scripture, if you're not surrendered to Jesus Christ, if you haven't given him all of your life, they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. And I can tell you that the season of my life where I lived on my own best thinking, it did not bring fruit. It did not. It brought so much pain.
Yeah. And you
not
did.
Just to me. Nobody has a perfect marriage with a perfect mate, because even if you found that person, there you are. And it instantly becomes an imperfect marriage because sinner marries sinner, right?
That's right.
But you have a godly marriage that's surrendered to the Lord. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. You have a family that has flourished. You were just talking about, how sweet it is for your children, even adult children, to live in as part of a family, an intact Christian marriage family, and how they have been blessed by that. And that doesn't save our kids, but it sure makes some stuff easier for them.
Yeah.
Whereas my kids have grown up with divorced parents, and there's a lot of chaos as a result of that. God has redeemed my life. I'm not here in shame and condemnation because of my past history.
That's right. He's blessed you.
But there's consequences to our choices.
Yeah.
My kids have chosen marriage, and I pray that they will stay married, stay the course, learn to be a forgiver.
That's you look at a long-term marriage and you know what? You think, well, oh, they're maybe so special. Oh, the other one said, they have learned the art of forgiveness.
Right? And for being humble and asking for forgiveness, admitting when I've blown it, I was wrong. And number three, don't make such a big deal out of some of this small stuff. It feels really big in the moment, but guess what? I mean, yeah, just move on.
Yeah. We had a pastor early in our marriage that said, your relationship is the important thing. It's not who's right and who's wrong. And I took that to heart. Mm. And even with your children, you know, always try to maintain that relationship. Mm-hmm. Use wisdom.
Right. So, yeah. So we need to dial into God's word. We need to surrender to God's Savior, Jesus. And we need to be transformed, not just by his word, but, you know, how the Holy Spirit leads us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will lead me as far as, you know, let go and let God. Let's have a good, it's a good day to have a good day, Mary.
That's right.
And so in verse 5, it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Like, hey, let's surround ourselves with good orderly direction.
Yeah, and good orderly people too.
Companionship.
Yeah,
right?
Companionship. Just like we didn't mention this, but I did want to mention, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or you're not around mockers or the scornful mm-hmm, sinners, right? Whatever. Now, we're all, the thing is, long ago I did this. I said, Lord, whoever you want to be my friend, you choose my friends. And God has honored that.
Mm-hmm.
I have some of the best friends, and I'm attracted to people who love the Lord with a passion. And God has given me awesome friends. And so I am so grateful, because lots of times in areas that I am weak, mm-hmm. they are strong,
mm-hmm.
and they pull me up. And you look at the mm-hmm. people who surround you,
that's right,
and that's
Robin.
Your future.
My mother-in-law, she would say, be careful who your friends are, because you're going to end up just like them.
And that is scriptural.
Right. And what we're talking about is that inner circle of
yes.
friends that we take guidance from, that we share life with, that, you know, we do life with.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that we can't have friends who are on the journey, people who are seekers, or people who are just not there yet, but they're not going to be my inner circle people.
Yeah, and they're not going to give you the best advice. You want to be around taking godly counsel from people who are wiser than you. That you need to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, wiser than you, that you can learn from.
Right.
And then in this Psalm 1 on verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You know, he knows us. We're only righteous because of the blood of Jesus and mm-hmm. what he's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we cling to that, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows us, and he knows what's best for us. Sometimes we think we know what's best and we lean to our own understanding, but God always knows what's best. And when we pray and we ask for his guidance, we need to follow it, be obedient, because he always has our best interest at heart.
It reminds me of what David said in Psalm 23, where he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He didn't save us just to save us. He is demonstrating his mercy in us.
Oh, so good. That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Mm-hmm.
The way of people who shun God, who reject God, his offering, his free offering of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything to earn salvation in Jesus, and to, you know, give God to just put a fist up in his face and say, forget you.
And you know what, Mary?
It's unspeakable.
Yeah, I think for those people, they don't know who God is. They have been lied to and lied to and
it's
lied
darkness,
to by the
right.
enemy, so they're totally deceived. They do
it
not
is.
Know the goodness of God and the Father's heart.
It just breaks my heart, you know.
Yeah, mine too.
You and I know how easy it is to come to Jesus. I didn't have to prove anything. I didn't have to be a church person. I didn't have to be sober. It just turned out that was my timeline. You know, I'm still a work in progress in terms of every facet of my life, my generosity, my hospitality, my purity, all of that stuff is under construction by the Holy Spirit, being sanctified one day at a time.
Mine too.
One moment at a time. And there are things that I still really struggle with to let go of. Well, welcome, co-struggler, to life with Christ. We don't have to become good to become saved mm-hmm. by grace through faith in
That's
Jesus.
Right.
We can't say it enough. God wants each one of us to surrender, and then He will form the way that we go. He will direct our paths. He will change the delight of our heart to match up with His way. We don't have to manufacture that stuff, and we can't manufacture it on our own. If we could have, we would have. And He never would have had to send His Son to die for us. It's a gift that we can come to Jesus. I love that hymn, just as I am. I can come to Jesus just as I am, whether I'm churched or unchurched, whether I've on a roll book somewhere, whether I'm baptized, none of that stuff has any currency. Jesus said, God is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. That's what He said to the woman at the well. And that's the currency, is that we worship in spirit and in truth. And I would add, not that I should add to Jesus, in humility.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. We can come to the Lord in humility to His word for direction, surrendered to His Spirit to shape our path. And that's, you know, it's not a New Year's resolution. It's a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, listener, for being with us today. We hope sincerely that you would want to base your daily life on Scripture. That's the only reason we're here, is that Rob and I, we love talking to each other about God's Word.
We do.
We love living a life based on God's Word, and authentic life. We don't have to fake that we're righteous. We know that the Holy Spirit is doing His job. We're just trying to cooperate.
We are.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
And so we are grateful for you. We are praying for you, listener, no matter where you are on the journey, that you would continue to grow and flourish in God's will. Thanks for being with me today, Robin.
Loved it, Mary.
And we'll see you next week.
Okie dokie.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to the Word Sower podcast. We're grateful for you and your interest in knowing God and His Scripture. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can have one starting today. Right now, right where you are, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins, living life my own way, and I want you to decide what my life should be. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Make me new and guide me. Your will be done. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new person in Jesus. We would love to hear from you and help you know what next steps to take. you can reach us at wordsowerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to the next time we're together when we will open up the Word of God and share how it has changed our lives with you.